I wanted to tell you about the sponsor of this Just M episode, and it's the Phonics Museum. So I have a son, and he did this with potty training, and he's doing it with reading. He just doesn't feel like it applies to him. He thinks it's a great idea for other kids, but no thank you all the same. I have not found anything to get his interest regarding reading at all. But I'm telling you, Phonics Museum has been amazing. So Phonics Museum was created because they know that teaching kids to read at a young age is one of the most important things that anybody can do for that child's future academic success. But it can be overwhelming and challenging, especially when you got a kid like mine who thinks, yeah, that's actually not one of my priorities, Mom. So I have my son try it, and he, even without knowing he was saying it, after every activity, he said, "This is fun." And then he'd go to the next activity, and he didn't even know that anybody else was around, but I just kept hearing him over and over say, "This is fun." I am super thankful for the Phonics Museum. They are offering a 2-week trial to Mom Struggling Well listeners. So if you go to phonicsmuseum.com/MSW, you'll be able to try that for free and see if you can't get your kids interested in reading. So head to phonicsmuseum.com/MSW and have a look at what it's all about. I think you're really going to like it. Hey ladies, welcome back to another episode of the Just M segment of the podcast. We have been going through John, and today we're in John 4, verses 16 through 30. So let me go ahead and read those. Jesus said to her, so he's talking to the woman at the well, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying you have no husband, for you have had 5 husbands, and the one who you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Just then the disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the town and were coming to him. Okay, there's so many good things here. I really just love this passage. So he tells the woman at the well, "Oh yeah, go get your husband. Tell him to come on over." And he's kind of bringing her around to the fact that the life she's living, she's got a lot of husbands. She said, "I don't have one." But then she also said, "You know, let's change the subject." So she changes the subject to a controversial religious topic. I love that. That's what we're supposed to not talk about, is religion in conversations. And she would rather talk about that. Oh man, don't we do that in our relationship with God? Let me just pray instead for, I don't know, my dog's hip problems rather than the actual sin in my life. So then she wants to talk about, where do you worship? She's saying, "We worship on the mountain, but you say we need to go to Jerusalem." And what Jesus is saying in verse 21 is that how you worship is more important than where you worship. I would like to say this is not license for you to worship in your living room or just find a way to not go to church. Being with other believers is really important. But the state of our heart, the posture of our heart, the way we live our lives, that's how we worship. That's more important than where we go to church on Sunday. Jesus goes on to say in verse 23, "The hour is coming and is now here where the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him." So the Samaritans, who this lady is, they didn't accept all the holy books that the Jews did, and they also made their own temple. So there was a lot of cultural baggage going on, and Jesus is just cutting through that and saying, your heart is what matters, your heart is what God's after. So we don't kind of understand all the cultural ramifications of what she's talking about, what he's talking about, but this is just another example of Jesus cutting to the heart of the matter and saying, nope, it's your heart. It's not that other stuff. It's not the rules. It's not the extra special things you do. It's your heart. So then in verse 26, he says, I am the Messiah. That's the first time in this gospel that he's been that forward and that clear. I think that's really great. And I think she's a woman and not even a woman of any important standing. And he wants her to know. That just makes my heart happy. So then the disciples come back. They're all like, what? Why is he talking to her? But nobody said nothing. Then in verse 28, it says that she left her jar and went to tell everybody in town. I love this great detail because it tells that she had more important things on her mind than taking her jar. She had more pressing matters that had her distracted. And it also is kind of a picture of what she doesn't need anymore. She doesn't need the water that will just make her thirsty again because she's found the living water. And obviously, she's still going to need to drink water. Come on. But there's a shift that's happened, and her leaving the water jar and John detailing this little fact is just kind of a neat little thing. So then the last verse, she goes to everybody, says, can this be the Christ? And then verse 30, they went out of the town and they were coming to him. So this is in stark contrast to the way that the religious people who had pride in all the knowledge they had, all the Jewish people that he was kind of contending with, when they heard that people thought he was the Christ, man, they were mad. They were plotting to kill him. These people, I mean, she goes into town and gets them and they come on out. They just came right to him to see about it. All right, so let's think about how we can struggle well based on these things. I think the first thing, we can get honest with God about the state of our lives. He already knows anyway. I loved when the woman said, he said, you've had five husbands. And she said, I perceive you are a prophet. Yeah, lady, nobody told him that. He just knows. So I love that. The Bible's really funny. God has got a sense of humor. Just be honest with him about all the things going on. Okay, then moving on to the worship part. Where do we worship? How do we worship? Maybe this week you struggle well by just having a look at your heart in worship. Is it sincere? Is it showy? Is it really sporadic? Is it based on your feelings? Is it only on Sunday? Our lives are meant to be worship, and obviously we're going to mess it up. But how could you be more intentional and more consistent in that this week? To any of you who feel like the outcast, again, I just want to encourage your heart. Jesus discloses truths about himself more directly to this sinful woman. He says, I'm the Messiah. He didn't even tell his own people that directly. He didn't even tell other male Jewish important leaders that directly. I love that. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and remarkable things that you do not know. So if we don't know something, God will tell us. He will tell us directly. He knows all the intel and he is going to give it out because he loves you. So then towards the end, when she leaves and leaves that water jar behind, it's a great mental picture. She is so pumped at what Jesus has just told her that she is out of there. She has got to tell people. So I ask myself, what do we need to leave behind? Is it a way of thinking? Is it an unhealthy habit? Is it a secret sin? Is it something that you tell yourself that tears yourself down? Maybe every time you look in the mirror, you say something hateful to yourself. Maybe you say it so often and you've said it for so long that you don't even realize you're saying it anymore. Maybe we need to leave some of that stuff behind. And then finally, I think we can pull a strategy to struggle well from the town. They came right out. It was the middle of the day. It was likely the time of rest. Most cultures rest after lunch. When I lived in China, they do that. And I woke up so many Chinese people calling them at lunchtime. That's not something that we do here. And so they probably got up and headed right out in the middle of the day to see Jesus. Such a different way than the Jews were responding to the message. So I think it is so important for us to have a look at how are we responding? How quickly are we responding? How earnestly are we responding? And maybe we're just not responding. So yes, love this. So many good things in John. I've really enjoyed doing these little deeper looks at these passages. I hope that they are helpful to you. Thank you so much for tuning into them. I would love to hear your thoughts on what book we would like to do next. I mean, although I think we're probably going to be in John for possibly the rest of our lives at this rate. All right, let me go ahead and pray for us. Lord, thank you that you highly regard women. Thank you that you highly regard women of no particular importance. And Lord, even though it's not true, I know that so many of us as moms at home, covered in nastiness in our yoga pants, we do not necessarily feel like we're very important. But you saw the woman at the well, and you see us as supremely valuable. Thank you so much for that, Lord. God, will you help us leave behind the things that you've called us away from? God, would our hearts be so pumped to run towards what you've told us is true? God, will we tell other people, not out of any kind of a sense of shame or fear, but just like the woman, just kind of, we can't help ourselves but to live out this new thing that we've realized. God, would you help us to be more honest with you? You know anyway. Lord, thank you for these sweet ladies. I pray that you would encourage their heart this week. In Jesus' name, amen.